the parent of like a little kid, I think, has gotten a lot harder than when I was raising my daughter. She's 23 now, and I got to tell you, the decisions you have to make and the things you have to monitor and protect your children from today has gotten a lot harder. What do you give them that's still entertaining but also aligns with your values? You know, we've talked about Way FM being a product that you don't have to filter, but like if you got Netflix in your house, you got to have the filter on.
And even Disney Plus, you have the same problem.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Disney Plus has been disappointing to me as a parent and some of the things they've chose to put on there. And like, you got to watch it, you know? And that's why it's so nice to have something. If I was raising little kids, I would do PureFlix subscription, man, because you've got content on there that you're not having to filter out. And as a parent, I mean, I know we want to be involved in our kids' lives, but sometimes you need to park them in front of the TV and take 10 minutes to yourself. That's why PureFlix is a great option for families. You got family stuff, obviously. They're even dabbling in some drama.
Yes, and
PureFlix originals. Like, I saw the movie on their Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and I have to tell you,
you cried.
I did. There was three times. Not once, three times.
I did.
I wept, and I was moved, and it was a great movie. And I think if I was raising my child now, I think PureFlix would be definitely a part of my family's entertainment plan.
So if you'd like to try PureFlix out, text PURE, that's P-U-R-E, to get your 1 week free trial. Faith and Family Entertainment with no ads on your favorite devices.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. I came back today because we were off yesterday for Labor Day, and I came back today kind of energized and ready to work. We had a sermon on patience, which if you've listened to the regular podcast, you can hear that in our Monday school. But there's a whole lot more to the sermon, and a lot of it too even leaned into like gratitude and stuff. And I think what made me super grateful for this job is that in the past, I've always been able to rely on my own like physical abilities. Like, okay, if for some reason I lost my job, I could go dig ditches and make a living and pay for my house, you know, because I grew up in a construction family. Mm-hmm. Well, I worked on my deck by myself this weekend, and it was a two-man job that I kept as a one-man job. And I even told my friend this. He's like, why didn't you call me? I'm like, dude, it never even entered my head, because I'm like, it's a project. I'll do it. It's my responsibility. And I almost died. I almost lost consciousness a couple times. I almost passed out and fell off the deck. I kept getting woozy every time I'd stand up. And I was drinking so much water. But my wife came out and she was like, you are drenched. And I mean, I was just, my wallet, I have a leather wallet. My pocket was soaked.
Ew.
Like, it was, I've never sweat that much in my life. I lost 5 pounds, apparently, and I'm hoping to keep it off, so yay.
You're like, oh, like bright side, positive,
yeah,
silver
exactly.
Lining of this weekend.
I'd do it again next week. But like, I was on the side of my house where she thought I was supposed to be in the back, and I almost went, I did go down. I started walking to the back to do one more thing, and I was like, I realized my body was giving out. I'm like, I can't do this. And I hit the ground, and I just sat there. And to the point where I was like trying to lean up against the wall. She's like, "There's spiders all over there. There's spiders all over." I'm like, "I don't care. I don't care." She's like, "What if one bites you?" I'm like, "I don't care." Like, at this point, I can't move. You know, it was so bad. But I was so sad because I found my limits as like a man, and like what I can
as
and can't
a human?
Do. Yeah, and like what my body, I'm asking my body to do and what it won't do now.
No,
and
I don't think anyone's body should be able to work in those kind of situations and then not drink water on top of it.
There was
want to do everything you want to put up every wall imaginable for your body to not succeed.
No, I
so
did.
That it can succeed.
I did drink the water. That's the crazy thing. I was pounding water and still went down. Like, it was, there was one point too where like I had to keep putting, I'm doing a deck, so I'm laying these boards out, and I want them to fit really nicely. And so they're 12-foot boards, and they're heavy, and I'm carrying them by myself from the stack, putting them on there. But then not every board is cut, like, super straight. And so if you've got too big of a gap, when the boards shrink, it's going to leave a bigger gap. I want it to look good. So I would bring 3 boards over, set them on the deck, and they're not good enough. So I'd have to put them to another pile that I can use for something else. And it was just, like, at one point in time, I was about 3/4 of the way through, and another board didn't fit, and and I had just barely gotten it up there, I almost started crying. I'm like, why won't you fit? And I was just, I mean, I was whipped. So I go and I lay down on the concrete where it's cool in the shade. There was no breeze. And I lay down, I pull my shirt up so my skin is on the concrete and I'm just trying to cool down. And this light little breeze comes blowing across my skin. And I remember laying there looking up at the sky and just going, Lord, thank you for that little breeze. I was so thankful for that tiny little breeze that meant nothing to anybody else.
It's but the
that
little
was
things.
Yeah, that was a lifesaver, man. It was so bad, but I got through it, and it's fine. But I think I was sad that I found what my body can't do. I did hit my limit this weekend.
Have you thought?
But it looks great though. Like I got it done, and it looks great.
Yeah, so did you learn your lesson?
No, I did not. Like my wife kept telling me, and you know, ultimately she was right. That's what drives me crazy. Like she was like, you could do it in an hour, you know, or whatever. You could do it tomorrow. But I'm so goal focused that when I have something, because I literally, I've told this story in the aftercast or the regular podcast, but I literally had one nail that had gone through the board sideways and was sticking out, and I didn't like it, and I needed to drive that up and then just hammer sink one more nail. That's all I had to do, and I was done. And I was so focused, blindly focused, I had to get that done or else my day wouldn't have been right.
Well, one thing I don't understand, too, is that you always want a project. You don't want to sit on the couch, but then you want to hurry and get that project done.
Yes.
Like, don't hurry up and get it done because then you're going to be left with nothing.
Well, it took me a couple days, though. And that's the other thing, too. I think that's what happened. Like, the Friday
before.
But
you could have taken your time, not pushed yourself and fainted.
Right. The Friday before. See, that's it. Like, I did half the work the day before where I replaced joists. I replaced all of the joist hangers. And then I put this screen thing down on top so that it would keep bugs out. Like, and I did all that, like, that night before in the heat. And then it rained. And I was working in the rain. So I was just whooped. And so then to get up the next morning at 7:30 and start working. And when I hit 12:30, I'm working the heat of the day. I'm like, oh, I'm done. So anyway, but I'm still here. I live. That's a lesson. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Kelly Clarkson.
Wow.
Boy, this was an interesting thing. Like, Betty Rock just brought this up about how Twitter is just a bastion of idiocy and anger, and sometimes it's hate, but then sometimes it's blame and judgment and stuff.
It's very open, so anybody can share their opinions, whether you agree or disagree. It's just an open arena for everyone to get a megaphone and say what they believe.
And it's a tough story.
Yeah. So we saw in the news here on the TV in the studio about Eliza Fletcher. She's a 34-year-old that went out jogging in Memphis. She lives in Memphis with her husband and her two kids. And she went out around 4:30 in the morning to go jogging. She disappeared, and they later found her, and she's deceased.
Okay, so they did claim, they did say that.
Yeah, they did find her body, and she's deceased. The man that kidnapped and killed her had been in jail for a previous similar situation where he kidnapped someone. So, anyways, I get on Twitter just to see what everybody's saying about it, and a lot of people are like saying, you know, something should be done towards the person that did this to her.
Absolutely.
Others are saying, blaming the victim and saying, you know, as a woman,
right,
a white woman that's on the sidewalk in Memphis at 4:30 in the morning, are you asking for trouble?
Right.
Why did she think that that was a safe thing to do? And I hate that they're blaming the victim.
I hate that they're blaming the victim because she should, as anyone should be able to go running at 4:30 in the morning and not think twice about it. Like, that should be your, you know, inalienable right that we talk about and living in a safe world. But unfortunately, we live in a broken world. So you have to balance out, this is not a blaming thing. You have to balance out your choices, and yes, I can do this, but is it the smartest thing to do? And running by yourself at 4:30 in the morning for a woman probably is not, but maybe she lived in a neighborhood she felt safe. And like,
because you never know.
People run in my neighborhood at 4:30 in the morning and they don't think twice about it, but one day it just takes once.
Right. And I believe that she probably had done this before multiple times. Nothing had ever happened.
Right.
They said that she is a working mom. She had two little boys. And so she was working. She's a mom, like all these things.
So she had to get up early.
So she's just trying to get in her exercise before, you know, the day begins. There's nothing wrong with that. There was somebody that was saying, like, you know, it's terrible what happened to her, but sadly, this is the world we live in. So here are seven things women should do before they go out to jog.
Oh, and okay, again, shouldn't have to do any of these
things.
Seven
things.
Should be able to put on your shoes and go jog.
Seven things that men don't have to do.
Okay,
but
what
women
are they?
Do.
I'd love to know this.
So one of them was wear an Apple AirTag that's traceable. So wear that
idea.
In your clothing so that's not tied to your phone. You know, it's actually tied to you.
Sadly, that's a great idea.
Change up your route. So don't go the same route every day at the same time. Only wear one earbud. Don't put two in your ears because you want to be able to hear what's going on around you.
Because this one was weird, too. They had video of her coming down her stairs, and you can see the SUV, I think it was. It was there. And then she runs past it, and then the SUV drives. And you're like, okay, was this somebody that had planned this and watched her and knew what was going on? Or is this somebody that it was
opportunity?
And I don't know. They haven't said anything like that.
Yeah. This one said carry a personal alarm. I'm not sure what that means.
There are these things that, like if you hit it, it's like, it's really loud.
Yeah. The step five was check in every 30 minutes with someone.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Every 30 minutes. Number six.
Don't call me at five. No.
Inform a trusted individual of your planned route.
Yeah.
And then seven, carry protection.
That's a big thing, man. Unfortunately, you want to go running and, like, you shouldn't have to carry mace or a firearm, you know, but you probably have to.
Well,
you know?
And, you know, I have close friends that are all about running, jogging, or walking, or whatever. And I get it. Like, it is good for you. But I have found myself, and probably because I watch and listen to too much crime, that I don't do it by myself.
Oh, absolutely not.
And so a lot of my friends are like, oh, come on. But you were saying, it only takes that one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not worth it.
No, that's the thing.
But that's sad.
But absolutely, it's completely sad. But that's the thing. It's not worth it. I guarantee you, this husband that lost his was she a single mom?
She was married.
Yeah. So I mean, this husband that lost his wife and the mother of his kids, if he could take it back and change it, you know, and say, hey, don't go running at 4:30 in the morning, please. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever it takes to have you be able to go at a normal time, or we'll go to the gym together. I'll run with you. You know, would do that in a heartbeat. You know, and again, it really does come back to, and this is not a blame the victim thing, but it's a responsibility thing. Like if there's rushing water and you know that rushing water can sweep you away, but you're like, you know what? I think I can make it this time. I've made it a couple times, but the one time it rushes you away, then it probably wasn't the best decision. And it's the same thing with this. You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to think twice about it. But we live in a world where women shouldn't have to worry if they wear something provocative. Again, not blaming the victim here, but the reality is bad things happen to people, and sometimes you make yourself a target for bad people. We need to, like, the conversation that should be having about this guy is what he was in for 24 years, he got out 2 years ago, and then now has committed this crime again. There's your crime, is that this guy was not rehabilitated. This guy probably will never be rehabilitated, and something needs to be done with him. There's your issue, is we're not doing it on the crime and the prevention side of this at all.
And my heart goes out to her two little boys. I mean,
these
boys, the pictures I saw, they were probably, the oldest one wasn't probably above 5 years old.
Heartbreaking.
Like, just young. And she's younger than me. She's 34 years old.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine going on Twitter and saying, have we considered why she was running at 4:30 in the morning? I mean, why? What makes her think that that was safe? Yeah, it wasn't safe, but put yourself in her shoes. Are you a mom?
Right.
Do you have two little boys that you're probably going to have to get up and feed? And you've got a husband that's got to be at his job. You've got to be at your job. Like, it's not.
But
fair.
You wouldn't do it though, because you know there's an inherent risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that whole thing of freedom of speech. You have the right to say whatever you want, but you shouldn't always say it. And it's the exact same thing with this. It's like, yeah, you can, you should be able to, and you can, but when it goes south, man, it goes south, and it goes south badly, and then, like, people's lives are just destroyed.
Yeah, and it is sad. We do live in a broken world, and there are things that men can get away with that women can't.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I think that, again, this goes back to the freedom of speech thing. where you have the right to say whatever you want on Twitter about the situation, I think doing that doesn't serve anybody's purpose. And it's not a good conversation to be talking about, well, she shouldn't have done this, because then that just hurts the family that already is grieving, mm-hmm. you know? And so she can go and do whatever she wants. It's not the smartest thing to run at 4:30 in the morning, typically. Just like that, Twitter, you have the right to say anything, but man, just don't. Have some decency for that family. And mm-hmm. yes, and you might be right. That's the thing. You could be totally right. Like Betty Rock, you just said it. I would never do this because it's not safe. And it's like, you're totally right in feeling that way, but do we always need to say it? Mm-hmm. As I think is part of the problem there. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of saying things, Chris Rock is finally talked a little bit about the Oscar slap. He was doing some comedy with Dave Chappelle, and they're touring the UK, which is interesting. He talked about it in the UK. He said that, and I'll have to clean up a bunch of the language here, so forgive me. But he said, Will Smith. Smith slapped me over the nicest joke I've ever told. which is funny because, yeah, I remember the joke, and I remember saying at the time, like, that's like a nothing joke. It's not even that funny.
One that Will Smith was, like, per the camera, was originally laughing at, I think.
Yeah, and then ended up, like, hitting him. And so Dave asked him, you know, did that stuff hurt? And he was like, yeah, for sure. But then Chappelle chimed in with something I think was really interesting. Chappelle chimed in with, Will Smith did an impression of a perfect person for 30 years, and he ripped his mask off and showed us he was ugly as the rest of us. That's fascinating because, yeah, he always came off untouched, you know, in Hollywood and had that likable, nice guy thing. I had always said, like, if I could hang out with any celebrity, it'd be Will Smith. Mm-hmm. I still wouldn't have a problem hanging out with him, you know, like, because I don't think he's a rampant slapper.
But you wouldn't say anything about his wife.
Oh, no, no. Once again, I have the right to, but I'm not going to. It's not safe. But it's interesting, though, that that's Chappelle's view of him, because other people that know him might have seen the other sides of him. And he was like, I hope he doesn't put his mask back on again and lets his real face breathe, because I see myself in both men. Like, yeah, I mean, if he just... It's interesting, like, if he is that way and he has those other issues, but he only shows you this one side, I like Chappelle's saying, just be you, you know, good or bad, warts and all, be you, mm-hmm. you know, and I would respect that far more.
But. I want a slap, a second slap.
Yeah.
Slap him!
Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to go to yours because I just have this thing on China and they're going crazy again, locking down 65 million people over 1,500 cases of COVID. Like, and we
wait, how many? 15?
1,500.
Oh, they have 1,500 new cases?
Oh, wait. 1,500 new cases in the last 24 hours across, get this, across the nation of 1.4 billion people. 1.4 billion. Billion. They had 1,500 cases and they've locked everything down. There was even an earthquake and people weren't allowed to leave their apartments and they were locked in. Like, how
that's a bit
messed up is that?
That's a bit much.
That's a I'm
Are
thankful.
People dying?
The earthquake actually fortunately didn't hurt a lot of people.
But what about COVID?
COVID?
Oh, I don't know. Like their information is
like
kind of sketchy.
Cold, I'd be like, hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in some ways, like I'm sure it's going to stifle it completely. Well, so you do stop that, but you never know when the next one's going to pop up. Like,
but that's the thing. Yeah, they haven't fully eradicated, and they've had the most extensive, approach on the planet, and they still can't eradicate it, you know? And so it's always going to be here. And so how do you live with it is really what you should be figuring out while you still don't damage your own people and your economy. Because
we've learned to live with it.
Like, yeah, we really have.
We're at that point where it's like, I think it was it symptoms, and then 5 days later, just go on in.
Yeah.
Probably even more lax than that, because... I don't even hear about it anymore.
I remember back in the day a little bit during the COVID thing, after things had gotten so bad and they were so shorthanded, and they're like, okay, if you're a nurse and you're sick, come on back in, you know, like for the first little bit, it was like 14 days and, you know, test 80 times and then it was like, but then they got down where it was desperate and they're like, all right, well, you're sick, you're working, you know, like, yeah. Well, how bad is it then? You know,
if you're going to
do that, Lady Rock, what you got?
Well, over the weekend, two different musical acts. They handled the same situation in different ways. So I want to kind of to get your two cents on which is better, or maybe both are fine. So The Weeknd, you know him from, he did the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Worst Super Bowl halftime show ever. It was, in my opinion. It was bad. So bad.
Well, anyways, he was doing a show, and during one of the songs, he lost his voice. He decided...
The track stopped is what he meant to say.
So in the next, after that song was over with, he made an announcement and he told the audience, hey, I'm so sorry. I just lost my voice unexpectedly. I'm going to have to reschedule the show. You'll get refunded.
If I'm in the audience and I hear you telling me you lost your voice, I'm like, wait a minute.
Unless you sound like you are on the... brink of going.
Yeah, unless then. You sound like Darth Vader.
But then again, like he, when he sings, he does those high. Those high notes.
So what do you do?
So he's going to reschedule.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
So, just, like, you don't get your money back?
No.
What if you can't go? Like, hey, thanks, Weeknd. I can't make it to the next show.
I guess you tell them, and maybe they'll give you your money back.
Okay.
But then Luke Combs, you know him.
Country singer.
He's a country singer, yeah. So he found out that he was just sick. He just was not going to be able to give them the show that these people were looking for. But he decided to still do the show.
Yeah, he did.
At 50%.
Yeah.
And he said, the show is free. You'll get your money back.
Oh,
so
that's
he didn't
nice.
Reschedule. Yeah. He went on and still did it, but he did it for free.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I wonder how bad it was, though, because if you got a free concert and in your mind you're like, oh, it just sounded all right.
Yeah.
And I just had a good time listening.
Maybe
and
he cut it short. Maybe he didn't go above and beyond with like an encore.
Yeah, but that was good, though. I mean, that's a pretty fair thing, because you can have empathy for them and not feeling good and still have to go to work, you know, and it's like some jobs you can go to work and still function, and, you know, you're putting widgets in a box. You're like, okay, I don't feel good, but I can get through this. But, like, being an artist would be hard.
That would be tough, because you really don't have sick days.
No, I've always felt bad for people like that. Like, my voice gets really sensitive, like, to certain environments and, like, smoke and things like that, or smoke machines, and it just... Or if I'm at a concert and I'm talking to a lot of people and yelling, my voice just gets so raspy and it hurts, but like I can still talk and so I can come to work. But when you have to sing and perform, like I don't see how these guys do it. And sometimes, I mean, they have doctors they bring in. Like Mark Hall was really sick one time. I remember they brought a doctor in, they're like giving him all these shots and stuff, trying to prop him up and get him on stage. Yeah, it's crazy. The lengths at a lot of bands, and that's even in the Christian world, but like in the mainstream world, you've got so much more money on it. Lengths they go to keep these people out there churning and burning.
The stuff they showed in the Elvis movie?
Yeah.
Where it was like basically from flying from one, he does a concert, get in the plane, go to the next one, and they're just IV drip, like hydrating him to stay alive because he's got to perform in like 12 more hours.
I have zero problem believing that exists.
Oh, yeah.
There are legendary stories of some rock guys that would get shots in their neck like when they would get to a different city because they were just toasted and roasted, and so they would, a doctor would meet them and give them like a steroid shot in their larynx, in essence.
I don't, that sounds awful. Yeah. I don't hate the idea of a quick fix to get you to
I
the
would
point
love that.
Of being having the energy to go. Like if at like 11 and 3 o'clock every day, I always crash.
Yeah.
And I wish, because caffeine just doesn't always do the, I wish I had some safe, clean way.
Some
just
non-meth way to stay energized.
I wish we had that, but we don't, and I'm not going to go down the wrong route
for
it.
Good for you, Gavin.
Yeah, way to go, Gavin. Guys. Just say no. All right, Betty Rock, do you have any birthdays?
I do.
What do you got?
I've got two of them.
Yes.
So Joshua and our two sons, Lincoln and Orson. Want to wish mom, wife, Jamie, a happy birthday.
Nice.
Saying Jamie is a loyal potty who will save up episodes so we can listen to them whenever we're on a family road trip.
Oh, that's so great. Like, that I'm taking a road trip this next week, and I will probably be asking Betty for more podcast recommendations.
Oh, I got them for you.
Yeah, because I don't listen to our podcast because I live it.
We so do
tell
it.
Me about it.
I can only handle so much of me.
Amen.
Thank you.
So happy birthday, Jamie. And then today, Vincent is celebrating his birthday. Happy birthday, Vincent. He said, I love Harry Potter, geography, social studies, and Auburn football.
Oh, that's great. I hope you like not dating, because that's not a good combination.
The Auburn. The Auburn that's football rude. Was the saving grace in all of that. Actually, that's a man after my own heart.
There you go. Yeah, work like for that. Gavin. A little yeah. Ginger got married. So.
The question is, what 90s movie would you want to be in for a day?
'90s movie? Is The Breakfast Club in yeah. the 90s? Yeah, probably.
No, that was no. the 80s.
Oh, was it? 16 Candles. Like, I'm thinking that's of all the 80s. Ones from my youth. Like, boy, I don't even know what movies were in the 90s. Lethal Weapon.
Oh, 2000.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon, the first one.
Lethal Weapon.
With Mel Gibson
I don't
and
know
Danny
what,
Glover.
I don't know what that one's about.
They're detectives. It's a cop movie.
Oh, sounds terrible.
It was really good. No, it was the first date movie I went on with my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Aw. I would choose Little Women.
Oh, yeah.
The Winona Ryder version.
I do like her.
I do, too. She's so cute. And she's aged well.
Yeah.
I like her a
she's
lot.
She's talented.
But that version, oh, when Beth...
Oh, get me started.
I can't talk about it.
I know. I've seen the play. I like the play.
Oh,
fine.
So stinking good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one.
Wait. What? I don't know which sister I'd want to play. Let me
Joe,
think.
You be Joe.
I think I could be Joe. Yeah, I want to be Joe.
You're Joe March for sure. And why do I know this?
Why do you know this?
I saw it. My daughter was in it, so I saw it.
I think I'd go Men in Black.
Oh, really?
And also, I did have to go look up which movies exactly came out in the 90s because I just don't have that down pat. But I'd go Men in Black. Give me all the cool little gadgets, especially the one that can erase people's memory right away.
And that'd be great.
All the cool toys that they get to play with.
The stuff I would say if I could erase people's memories.
Oh, my gosh.
Click like, it, but radio
be so
version.
Great. You get it off your chest and you feel better, and then you erase it from existence.
Oh, so good.
There was a guy that worked in radio with me in Florida. And in mainstream radio, you work on what's called a delay. You have a 7-second delay.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that if you're talking, everyone else that's, when you've said it, it's like going back in time. When you've said it, everyone else starts hearing it 7 seconds after you've said it on the radio. And mm-hmm. so you have a button, it's called the dump button. So if you say something dumb or a caller swears, you hit the dump button and it kind of erases that time, and you keep talking, and it just kind of takes that out and then picks up where you are still talking. It's a weird way that it messes with the audio.
So if you, let's say, okay, beep, a bad word was said.
Yeah.
Now I hit the dump button.
But I keep talking.
Right. So what are people going to hear?
They're going to hear you continuing to where you start talking.
But where
again.
Is the silence, the dump coming in?
It's not silent. It doesn't kill it silently.
Oh.
It basically takes it like almost like an edit and makes it disappear. And then what
so
you're saying
you
now.
So do you need to hold the button?
No,
until
you hit it. It's only 7 seconds. And then you can actually do 7 seconds and then another 7 seconds if you really have had a problem. But
have you ever had to do
we
that?
Had a 30-second delay.
Smart.
Yeah, so we were not the best people.
What were but, you angry about?
What was I angry about? Well, we would just...
I don't understand how that show ever was picked up or ever got what it needed because...
It was super popular.
I don't get it because already people are angry to begin
with.
They
different
don't
time.
Need one more thing.
Yeah, it was a different time. Like, like before, the things that used to get you raises now get you fired. Mm. And people loved conflict and controversy and awkwardness and stuff. And now everyone gets so offended. But... back to the dump. And so this guy was so good at using it, though. He was a talk show host. And so he would be talking to somebody, and he would just have enough of them. And he would go off on a 7-second tirade and swear at them, call them every name in the book. And he knew he had 7 seconds. And he would go, blah, 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 and then he'd hit the dump button, and it would take it out, and then he'd keep talking. So good at it that like it was like seemed like, dang, how man, that's amazing. Until one day the engineers forgot to tell him that the dump was not working. And so he went off on a tirade and swore at this person mercilessly, said all this horrible stuff, hits the dump button, and then he hears it. He's like, oh, no. Like, it didn't kill it. And it was all there. Like, he got suspended.
He did.
Suspended. Yeah, he didn't get fired because he was making them too much money. But he got suspended, and there was an FCC fine.
That's amazing.
Too, yeah. I forget why we're talking about the dump button.
I forget, too.
90s movies tying to Men in Black with the
forgetting the doohickey. Things. Yes. Yeah. Dang, nicely done. Gavin's paying attention.
Well done.
Betty Rock and I aren't even listening to ourselves.
I'm like, when are we done?
What was the other, like you said you listed 90s movies. You looked it up. Like, what
there
was that
was
list?
There was My Cousin Vinny.
Oh,
Casper.
Yeah. The two Utes. The Utes. What are you saying? The Utes? No, the Utes.
Never saw it. Good Will Hunting.
Oh, that's a great movie.
That's a good
What's
movie.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
I never saw that.
Rush Hour. Tombstone.
Yeah. Rush Hour is Jackie Chan. Tombstone is one of my favorite movies with Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell. Every time that's on, it's only on TBS. Every time that's on, I always watch it from wherever it comes on, but I always seem to catch it at the same place. But I love them. I'll be your huckleberry.
Joe's Apartment. Flubber.
Oh, I never saw that. Flubber. Oh,
Rocket
my God.
Man.
Oh, Flubber's
very
where,
good.
Flubber's where I interviewed Robin Williams for the Flubber junket. They flew me to New York to interview Robin Williams, and it was one of the best, coolest interviews I've ever done.
Jerry Maguire, City of Angels, Notting Hill.
With Nicolas Cage and
Ten
Meg
Things
Ryan.
I Hate About You.
With the Green Mile.
Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, Twister. Renona Ryder.
You've Got Mail. Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Oh, and Ghost
Sleepless
in the same
in
year?
Seattle.
Or the same decade, I guess.
Clueless.
Batman. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Wow. There's a lot of
Message in a Bottle.
I don't remember that.
Hope Floats.
Oh, Hope
so
Floats
good.
Is really good.
And so good.
That one's really good. Oh, and Sweet Home Alabama. I like that one.
That's cute. The Man in the Moon. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. It's so sad.
Oh, yeah, I don't need any sadness in my life. All right, well, that is going to do it for your aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.